Now, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. If you were at the Good Friday service on Friday, we walked through chapter 23 of Luke. Today, we're going to continue on, and we're going to look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24. And I want to talk to you today about those three things. The tomb is empty, Jesus is risen, and there is life in Christ. So let's look at the tomb is empty. Luke 24, beginning in verses 1 through 3, says this, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, here we go, the first day of the week, Sunday. It says they went very early. Who is they? Well, you're going to see a little bit later in this passage, it's going to talk about a couple of Marys, a Joanna, and it's also going to talk about another group of ladies that were there. Here they go. They're going very early. It says at dawn, at first light. We had, in case you don't know, we had a 7:30 service today, all right? So 7:30, 9, and now 10:45. Just trying to get things ready. I rolled in here today a little bit before 5, a little bit before 6. As I'm coming across Church Street, coming over Interstate 24, as you look back, man, towards Chattanooga, the sun was coming up. It was beautiful seeing the sun come up. There was a mist, you know, because the rain had moved out. The temperature was a little cool. It was beautiful. And then all of a sudden, I remembered, I got to drive forward, all right? Don't look this way. Look this way. There could be someone coming across the bridge. I could run into them. This is what you're seeing right here. It was very early. These ladies who had already seen Jesus crucified, a couple of them, the scripture says, John chapter 19. All the Gospels talk about the resurrection of Christ. But in John 19, it says a couple of them watched the body of Christ come off the cross. They watched how he was wrapped up, how he was anointed, how he was put in the tomb. So they knew where to go back. So here they're leaving and going. As before dawn, as they get to the tomb, they realize something doesn't look right here. Something doesn't look right. In fact, it says that there is the stone has been rolled away. Now, I want to remind you about something. In fact, write John 19 down, because I'd like for you to go look at it a little bit later. In John 19, it says that there were two of the ladies, they were there as Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. They took the body off the cross. Now, in those days, the Jews did not embalm the bodies, dead bodies. So what they did is they took the body off the cross. They would have laid it out. In fact, John 19 says they had 75 pounds. I want you to catch that. 75 pounds of spices and ointment that they would have coated the body with. And the scripture says they would have then taken the cloth. They would have wrapped him up. Those two ladies would have seen where they laid him in the tomb, a fresh cut tomb, never been used. They saw that happen. They saw it roll over. It would have been sealed up. Now, I don't want to run by this. This story right here tells us that on Sunday morning, there were more ladies who were going to the tomb with more spices. Men, can you identify with this in any way? You seek to try to, I shouldn't just say men, spouses maybe. You're trying to help. You're trying to load the dishwasher. And someone comes behind you in the house and they rearrange the dishwasher. Maybe you're trying to help get things ready. You're trying to get things prepared. You're trying to take care of things. And somebody, my sister sent me a cup this week that said, a coffee mug. I got it. The staff really liked it. I got a coffee mug that says, "I'm not a control freak, but you did that wrong." This is literally what's happening right here. These ladies saw 75 pounds of ointment and wrapped up him put in a tomb, but they're going, "He didn't do that right." And they're going to go and take their own ointment, and they're going to go and prepare the body the right way that they wanted it to be done. But notice what happened in verse 2. Notice what verse 2 says. Verse 2 says, "They found the stone rolled away, but when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." The tomb was empty. This event, I want you to catch this. This event right here mark the world. I mean, so much so that we mark time by this event. BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domino, in the year of our Lord. This right here marked everything. It turned the world upside down. Everything, I want you to hear, rises and falls on whether or not Jesus Christ is in the grave or not. And I need you to hear me. He's not. He is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father today. And this is why we meet, because of his resurrection. Pastor theologian R.C. Sproul says this. He says, but itself, the empty tomb, but by itself, the empty tomb is an empty message. You realize that just an empty tomb does nothing. The reason the empty tomb it speaks to us today is because of the one who was in the tomb came out of it. He walked out of it. He is resurrected. He is alive and well today. And because he has risen, because he's alive, we have life. The tomb is empty today, folks. The tomb is empty. Let's look at the second piece here about Jesus is risen. Luke 24, verses 4 through 7 says this, while they were perplexed, circle the word perplexed there or write it down. You can look at it a little bit later. It says, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling. Circle the word dazzling. I like the way this is such a descriptive passage. Stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Notice what it says here. It said that the women, they're wondering about what's going on. The word it used in the text there, it says they were perplexed. They're wondering, what is this? What's happening here? This is not how we left this. This is not how this was supposed to be. Listen, when two of the ladies said, listen, he's going to be there. I know where it was. I watched them lay him in the ground, put him into the tomb that was sealed up. We'll get one of the guards. They'll unseal it. We'll pull the body out and we'll take care of everything. But they get there and the stone's gone. What? Hold on. This is not like this. This shouldn't be like this. It says, then they looked in and was like, where is he? What's happening? They didn't know what to think. And then all of a sudden, there were two angels dressed in their Easter white best. Said, what are you doing? Why are you looking for the living in the place of the dead? Now, I need to stop here for just a moment. I would venture to say that in this room right here, there are people who are much like these ladies. You found yourself in a situation where you've been drinking out of wells that have left you very thirsty. You've been looking for life, you think, in places of death. Some of you in here, you've taken your ladder and you've raised it up against the building and you're trying to climb that ladder and you're realizing, uh-oh, this is not leading where I thought it would. Some of you, you're thinking, if I can just build that house, if I can just get this pile of money big enough so that when I retire, I can, it's beaches and umbrellas all day. Some of you are thinking, man, if I could just, you're looking for life in places that are going to lead to death ultimately. And the angels are saying, listen, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is a graveyard. This is not where life is found. The source of life that you're looking for, don't you remember? He told you. He said, I'm going to rise again. And I think this right here, if we're honest with each other, well, let me say this. This is the most important question that I ask people when I'm talking to them. Are you looking for life in dead places? You realize the thing that you're counting on, it's not gonna get you where you're hopeful it's gonna get you. Today I want to ask you this. Are you looking for life in places of the dead? things that aren't going to bring life. See, the source of life, if you're looking for the source of life, notice what he says in verse 6. In verse 6, he redirects them now to Jesus, and he says, he's not here. He has risen. The one you're looking for, and many of you, you're looking for all kinds of things. I want you to know who you're looking for is Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. He is the one. And he is alive and well today. And his spirit is speaking to you today. That's why you're here, so that he might speak to you. He says, listen, all the stuff you're hopeful for is dead end. It's dead end. He kind of rebuked them, and then he like redirects them to Jesus. You're looking for him here. Listen, he's not here. He's risen. And then he calls them, and he begins to try to help them to think again. Look at the rest of verse 6 and 7. He says, remember how he told you? He calls them to remember. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day, and on the third day, rise again. I want you to think about it for just a moment. These ladies, they had walked with Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They had eaten with Jesus. They watched his miracles. They probably were sitting at the table of Lazarus. I can imagine them saying, hey, do you remember just like last week, a few days ago, you were sitting at the table of a man who was dead that Jesus brought to life, and y'all were eating together. Do you remember that? And it says they began to remember. They began to remember. You realize, don't you, this right here is not like a first century Jewish woman problem. This is a 21st century man and woman problem for us today too. We are people who forget. We easily forget. This is why in BC, back with Moses, when the Lord said, Moses, you tell people to write this down. You write it down. All the things that you're hearing, all the things that you see, write them down so that you don't forget them. Put them on the doorpost. Put them on, bind them to your forehead. Put them on your as frontlets. Put them on your wrist. He said, when you walk by the wayside, when you lay down at night, when you get up, talk about these because you're going to forget them. They're going to forget it. We forget, don't we, how Jesus has changed us, and that the one that we say, listen, we're following after you because you have the words of life, yet so often our head gets easily distracted and we start running towards places of death, thinking we're going to get this, but really we're running to death. You see, we're drinking from water, well water, that will not satisfy. And you know that. Listen, most of us in here, or a lot of us, let me say that, you grew up around the things of the Lord maybe. Maybe you grew up in a church with wooden pews and wooden benches, and you remember the thump on the back of your head from your grandmother because you were talking in front of them. I see some heads nodding. Some of us in here, Easter, oh yeah, people are going to be in pastel, we're going to go to church, there's going to be Easter baskets. In fact, Kyle, he's going to get up, he's going to preach, it's going to be a long message. It won't be today, I promise. It's going to be a long message. There's going to be like 3 points, there's going to be all kind of alliteration. He's going to talk about the resurrection, he's going to talk about an empty tomb, yet you're going to get up and walk away and you will have forgotten, because it'll just float away. You know, it's been said that it's easy to talk about the main thing, to know what the main thing is, and then yet forget about the main thing. Some of you may be here today and you're thinking, well, what's the main thing? I mean, what's the main thing? I heard that. I knew you were going to ask it, so here it is. Verse 7. Look at what verse 7 says. Verse 7 tells us that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what we talked about last week when we talked about the gospel being the news of the messenger, the one who is sent. And today, you've come, you're here, someone invited you, and the gospel, the news that was sent forth, is this, that Jesus loves us so much that he laid his life down, that God, before time, before it ever began, he knew that you and I were going to need a Savior. All the things that we try to do, all the good works that we stack on top of each other, like a tower leading up to heaven, is no good. Those, hopefully one day, my good works will outweigh my bad works. I'm not as bad as them. We're not like that. Listen, I go to church all the time. I do all these things. I try to help people. I give a lot of money. All of those things, the scripture says, are as filthy rags. It's only because of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who lived a perfect life, sinless life, the Son of God, who was given into the hands of men. Do you know what that means? God sent his Son to his own, and his own knew him not. They crucified him. They put him on a cross. They laid him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he arose. He's the risen Christ. You see, because the tomb is empty, because Jesus has risen, the third thing quickly is this, is that we can have life, real life, abundant life. Listen, I'm talking eternal life, but I'm talking like real life right here. Life that is different, that brings peace, that brings satisfaction. All of the things that we've been trying to find in a death place, Jesus himself gives them to us with life in Christ. Look at these last few verses, beginning in verse 8. And they, talking about the ladies, it says, and they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women who told these things to the apostles. Notice, but these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went away home. He went home marveling at what had happened. Here, the angels kind of give them that little rebuke. What are you looking for? Why are you here looking for this? They turn him back to Jesus. He's alive. He's not here. Don't you remember? And so now what ends up happening, the ladies, I wonder what they did with the spices. I wonder what they did with all the stuff. It says they returned very quickly. They took off running. They got back to the upper room where the apostles were. You see, after Jesus was crucified, the apostles, they went back to that upper room where they served the Lord's Supper, where communion, where Passover was redefined. And it says they huddled there because they knew they're coming for us next. They came back. The lady said, they begin to tell them, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. We took all the spices. We took cloth. We were going to go fix what Nick and Joseph were done. We're going to make all that right. We get there. The stone's gone. The guards are gone. There's these two angels, and they tell us he's not even there. He's alive. Can you imagine Andrew and Nathaniel? What the scripture says. Hey, she's been like sniffing the spices a little too much, don't you think? It tells us in verse 11, it says, they thought these words seemed to be an idle tale. They don't know what they're doing. It even goes so far, they had forgotten. These were the disciples who for 3 years walked with him. Three different times in Galilee, this is going to happen. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be put in the ground. I'm going to rise again. Three times they had forgotten. So folks, let's don't stand back and go, oh, that wouldn't have been me had I been a disciple. I'd have been standing right there at the cross saying, you come on. No. You see, we forget. Even today, when we have the written word of God, they had the living word of God and still forgot. We have the written word of God. And it says they forgot. Yet Peter, don't you love Peter? It says Peter got up and he took off to the tomb and he got there. Now, John in John 19, don't you love John in John 19? He's telling this story and he says, hey, we took off running, but I beat him. I beat Peter to the tomb. I got there before he did. And Peter, it says he got to the tomb, he stooped down and he looked in. Can you imagine? Try for just a moment to imagine Peter. Peter, who's thinking, wait a minute, I remember when Jesus called me and I left my nets. I remember being on a boat and the waves were crazy. We thought we were going to go down and we had to wake Jesus up. Jesus, can you do something? And he got up and said, peace, be still, calm. And it stopped. Can you imagine Peter when he's thinking, I remember being on the boat with him again and he's walking on the water and he told me to get out and walk to him. Can you imagine Peter who was around with all the miracles? The miracle, I saw him feed 5,000. I saw him do it again. We touched all the baskets. Oh my goodness. That was like just a little fish and bread and there was a feast that he fed. Can you imagine him thinking as he stooped and he's looking in? He remembers the night that Jesus was betrayed. Oh, I took that sword and I cut Malchus's ear off and he healed him and they drug him away. Peter's thinking about being around the campfire. Jesus told me just a few hours earlier that I'm going to deny him 3 times before the cock crows. And yet what did Peter do? He forgot who Jesus was and denied him. Yet I also think, I want to be real honest with you, I think Peter in that moment when he stooped and he looked in and he saw, I also believe that Peter thought, Jesus told me this. He told us that he was going to be crucified, that he was going to be buried, and that he would rise again. I think at that moment, he didn't know where Jesus was, but he knew Jesus is alive. He's alive. Do you know why I believe that? Because this event marked his life. It galvanized his faith from this day forward. You know, a few days later, in Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, Peter stands and he preaches to Jerusalem during the Feast of Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. And this right here is the message of resurrected Jesus. That you killed him, but he is alive today. And all who would come to him might be saved. This Jesus, listen, we're not here today to celebrate a basket full of candy. We're here today to remember the resurrection Lord and an empty tomb. That's why we gather. I've told you this before. I don't think the stone was just rolled away so that Jesus could walk out, because you realize Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away for him to come out of the tomb. A few verses later in this book, you see he appears in the upper room. He didn't walk through a door. He appeared there because of him being able to do that. So I don't think it's because the stone was rolled away just so he could get out. I think more than that, the stone was rolled away so that Peter could look in, so that you and I could look in and realize he's not there. He is alive today. He is risen. He's risen. He's not a dead man. He's the risen King of Kings. He is the risen Lord. He is the source of the life that we look for. I was reading a story this week about a British pastor in the UK, in case you don't know, lived during the 50s. His name is W.E. Sangster. He pastored the same church for 50 years, a little Methodist church, stood in the face of theological liberalism for all those years. As he was preaching, getting up in age, they began to notice his congregation even began to notice, you know, Reverend Sangster is not the same man. He wobbles a little bit as he's getting to the podium. And it didn't appear to just be old age. You know, as he's up there, his voice begins to slur the speech. They begin to notice his hands begin to shake. They ask him, you need to see a doctor. He went to the doctor, and after, remember, we're talking in the 50s. And so during that time, through a series of tests and a long diagnosis, he was diagnosed with a type of muscular dystrophy. He began to pray and ask the Lord because his health began to deteriorate greatly. Father, would you let me preach the gospel one more time on Easter? Would you let me, I think his words are, would you let me be a general or at least an infantryman in the regiment so that I can stand one last time to preach the resurrection on Easter? Sadly, his body didn't hold up. He came to Easter and he was unable to walk. His voice was gone because of the muscles in his throat. He could barely write, but we have recorded a letter that he left on his desk to his daughter that reads this. It's a terrible thing to have no voice on Easter Sunday with which to shout, "He is risen." But I guess it would be worse still to have a voice and not want to shout, "He is risen." Folks, today, he is risen. Yes, he is risen indeed. And this is the source of life that we hold out to you today. To all who will come, to all who will bow the knee to Jesus, he'll give you the right to be sons and daughters. Rendered your life, who have submitted your life to him, if you have found yourself turning your head from living water to pools of mud. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in the Lord. He calls you home, child. In his grace, he calls you back to repent, to turn to him. You know why? Because Jesus is the one who paid it all. Jesus is the one who walked this life faithfully and perfectly. And my trust is in him. Father, I love you and I thank you. Thank you so much for this Easter Sunday. Thank you for what you're doing in this body. I thank you for the symbol of life change and all the people today who have been baptized. Father, I thank you that today you've been about confirming, reconfirming. You've been about saving people today. Father God, we ask that in this room right now that you would save people. Men and women, little boys, little girls, people who this is their very first time here or people this is their 30th time here. Lord, today I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would move up and down these aisles between these rows and that your Holy Spirit would point to the one who is the source of all life, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord today. Today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and when we stand, Zion's going to lead us in some songs, and as we do, we're going to have deacons at the front. I'll be down here. If you'd like someone to pray with, you want to talk to someone about life in Christ, I'd love to talk with you. You say, I don't know about coming forward. Well, I'll be at the back after the service. I'd love to talk to you there. Whatever it is the Spirit asks you to do today, would you be obedient to him? Not to the voice of anyone else, but to him. Jesus, we magnify you. We honor you. And it's in your name we ask all of these things today. Amen. I'm going to ask that